So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 13, Brahma, Rama stealing the boys and calves. So we're going to read from text 3 to text 8. So I'll read the from 3 to 7 and then we'll read 8 together. Translation. O King, kindly hear me with great attention. Although the activities of the Supreme Lord are very confidential, no ordinary man being able to understand them, I shall speak about them to you, for spiritual masters explain to a submissive disciple even subject matters that are very confidential and difficult to understand. Then, after saving the boys and calves from the mouth of Agrasura, who was death personified, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, brought them all to the bank of the river and spoke the following words. Translation. My dear friends, just see how this river bank is extremely beautiful because of its pleasing atmosphere. And just see how the blooming lotuses are attracting bees and birds by their aroma. The humming and chirping of the bees and birds is echoing throughout the beautiful trees in the forest. Also, here the sands are clean and soft. Therefore, this must be considered the best place for our sporting and pastimes. Purport. The description of Vrindavan forest as given herewith was spoken by Krishna 5,000 years ago, and the same conditions prevailed during the time of the Vaishnav Acharyas 300 or 400 years ago. Kujak Kokil Hamsa Sarasagana Kirne Mayura Kule. Vrindavan forest is always filled with the chirping of and cooing of birds like cuckoos, kokila, ducks, hamsa, and cranes, sarasa, and it is also full of peacocks, mayurakale. The same sounds and atmosphere still prevail in the area where our Krishna Balaram temple is situated. Everyone who visits this temple is pleased to hear the chirping of the birds as described here. Kujak kokila hamsa sarasa. Take 6. I think we should take our lunch here since we are already hungry because the time is very late. Here the calves may drink water and go slowly here and there and eat the grass. Text 7. Accepting the Lord's proposal, the coward boys allowed the calves to drink water from the river and then tied them to trees where there was grass, where there was green tender grass. Then the boys opened their baskets of food and began eating with Krishna in great transcendental pleasure. So text 8. Translation. Like the whole wall of a lotus flower surrounded by its petals and leaves, Krishna sat in the centre, encircled by lines of his friends, who looked very beautiful. Every one of them was trying to look forward toward Krishna, thinking that Krishna might look toward him. In this way, they all enjoy their lunch in the forest. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. To a pure devotee, Krishna is always visible. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Santa Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti. And as indicated by Krishna Himself in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvatak Pani Padam Tato Tad Sarvato Shiro Mukham. If by accumulating pious activities, Krita Punya Punja, one is raised to the platform of pure devotional service, Krishna is always visible in the core of one's heart. One who has attained such perfection is all beautiful in transcendental bliss. The present Krishna conscious movement is an attempt to keep Krishna in the centre, for if this is done, all activities will automatically become beautiful and blissful. Om Gyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastachade Shatadine. So Vijay was supposed to give the class, but he went to some nocturnal affairs in Stonehenge. I used to work nights before I joined the movement, so I know what it's like. It's very tiring. So at the beginning of this particular chapter, Shukadeva Goswami is glorifying Maharaj Parikshit because of his ability to ask nice questions and hear very nicely. And he's saying that because you're doing this, back to Rasayana said yesterday, then you know you're feeling always that the topics are ever fresh. And because it's, you know, between when there's a conversation, both people have to be enlivened. If the hearer's enlivened, then the speaker's enlivened. If the speaker's enlivened, then the hearer has a chance to be enlivened. So it's a, you know, a reciprocation. You know, it's not everything in this material world is, everything in Krishna's creation is actually personal, and things work on that platform, on the platform of sentiment, on the platform of logic. And so it's not logical to think how, you know, how does that work? Surely if the speaker is actually really qualified, and the, you know, the hearer is not qualified, then there'll be but no, both have to be qualified. And so he's glorifying, and then he leads on to this section, which starts with number 3, and he says that he starts speaking about he goes back to the story of where Agasura was killed, and then they all went to the forest to take lunch, and they all sat down nicely in a very secluded place, and the different birds were making noises which are very sweet to the ear. And so this is the nature of the spiritual world, is that, you know, everything is blissful. Everything satisfies the heart and enlivens the heart. In the material world, maybe that's not the case. You know, some things satisfy the heart for some time, but generally, after a while, it fails to do that. I remember when I caught a train from Delhi. I had to go from Vrindavan to Delhi, and then I was going to Bombay. And it was a night train, I think maybe about 10 o'clock I got on the train. And what happens is that for the first 100 kilometres, 200 kilometres, it stops at many places. And then when it's, you know, the train's full, it doesn't stop so often. And so, you know, it's 10 o'clock. By the time we got settled, it was off. So I started to take rest. And then, you know, after so long, you know, maybe half an hour, the jolt of the train, I woke up and you could hear chai, chai, you know, and people getting on the train and people come in the compartment. And so then, you know, he set off again, went back to sleep. Then another jolt, chai, chai, same thing, about 3 times. And then the next time it was the same chai, chai, and people getting on the train. But I thought, wow, there's something about this place. And I could hear, you know, in the back, some chanting in the background. And it felt really auspicious, and I felt uplifted, even though I was tired. I says, "Where are we?" He says, "This is Mathura." I've never seen Mathura like that when you go to the station before. But it just shows that, you know, the atmosphere is there, even though we may not always be conscious. And just by that little interlude, I could understand there's a big difference between a holy dharm and an ordinary place. And so, you know, wherever Krishna performs his pastimes, then that place is, you know, it's enlivened with spiritual energy. And also, when the devotee who is very close to Krishna goes to a particular place, that becomes enlivened with spiritual energy also. What's that verse? Bhavat vidā bhagavatas bhūtat svayam vidam vibho. Tirtha Tirtha Kurvanti Tirthani Svantakstena Gadabritaha. You know, Maharaj Yudhisthira is being visited by Vidura, and he's saying, my dear Vidura, you know, where a pure devotee visits, it's like a valley, it's a holy place of pilgrimage. In other words, it's a devotee who makes it a place of pilgrimage. Why? Because you carry the Supreme Personality of Godhead within your heart. So every place that that particular kind of devotee goes, it becomes charged with spiritual energy. I also have another example. When I was in Manchester, I was it was a little bit desolate at that time. There was only me in the temple room. It was in the morning, and I was chanting my rounds, and it was difficult. It was really difficult. And then all of a sudden the door opened, and this devotee walked in. One devotee used to live just outside the city, and he used to work in the city. So some mornings he'd come in early, he'd rise at 3 o'clock, come for the morning program, and then he'd go to work afterwards. And this devotee came in, and all of a sudden the whole atmosphere lifted, and the rounds improved and everything. So maybe that's not always the case, but you know, Krishna was trying to tell me something, that don't stay on your own too long. It's too difficult. You know, in the association of devotees, then it's very easy to perform devotional service. And especially, you know, when we get somebody like Srila Prabhupada. We're going off the subject matter a little bit now. So, you know, Prabhupada was the life and soul of the Hare Krishna movement. When he went from New York in the early days, he was with his disciples. Brahmananda joined, Ketananda joined, and he had a nice little vibrant community, and thought it will always be like this, just as in Swami. And they were actually satisfied beyond their wildest dreams. But then he got an invitation to go to San Francisco, and they were all dejected. And you know, a few weeks later, a few months later, he came back, and they could see that, you know, he was chanting the Maha Mantra before he gave class, and everybody was completely distracted. You know, they couldn't focus. So, you know, that spiritual energy wasn't there. They weren't strong enough. So when in doubt, get, you know, associate with devotees. Or at least associate with the holy name. And then we can actually build up the strength again. yeah, so this old pastime is Brahma stealing the boys and calves. It's called the Brahma Vimoha Leela. So, you know, Vimoha means bewilderment or delusion. You know, Brahma is the four-headed Brahma. You know, he's so much intelligence. And he's the supreme devotee in the universe. At least administrative-wise. And yet, you know, Krishna always uses these situations to make a big point, is that if Brahma can become bewildered, then what to speak of the ordinary living entities? And so Brahma, by the arrangement of Mahamaya, it might have been Yogamaya actually, but we can say by Mahamaya, he couldn't understand why, you know, Krishna, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, I've heard it so many times, and now I'm seeing it. But, you know, I'm not so sure. You know, he's got a piece of yogurt in his hand. He's 5 years old, and it's dripping through his hand. He's got it in his left hand as well. This is not Vedic. And he starts to have some doubts. Supreme Personality. I'll have to check this one out. And so, you know, we all know the story, how the cows went into the forest and Krishna followed them, told them, I won't be long, I'll be straight, but just enjoy the prasadam. And so he said, when Brahma took his opportunity to steal the cowherd boys, put them in somewhere secluded, and then he replaced them by his expansions. So how many sets of cowherd boys were there? Two. Three. Oh, you've heard it before. Yeah, because nobody can steal coward boys. So Krishna took the original coward boys, and they were still somewhere else playing in their pastimes. So Brahma, he stole the Maya Coward boys and put them in the cave. And then he replaced them by his expansion. So three sets of Coward boys. And, you know, when he came back a year later, he saw that, you know, to him it was just a few moments. It was, everything was the same. And he was completely bewildered. And so this is the nature when we try, when we, you know, this pastime is about putting Krishna in the center. And by the arrangement of the external energy, or by Krishna's internal potency, Brahma, he forgot Krishna. And so it says, Bayam dviti abhinivasaha shat, isata apatesha vipari rosmiti, tvam mayaya bada apijet tvam, bhaktyak yak esham guru deva atma. So, you know, that when we see on the platform of duality, what's the biggest problem in the world? What's the first problem? You just mentioned it, you know, we see on the platform of duality. What does that mean? It means we see on the platform of false ego. You know, our real ego is, you know, Jivadaswarabhai Krishnarinichi, we're eternal servants of Krishna. As soon as we see on the platform of false ego, we see duality. So we think with the body. It says from this misconception, everything is actually generated in the material world. All problems come. He said this frightening condition is by the influence of the external energy of the Lord. Therefore, you know, a devotee should take shelter of Krishna. And then there's no fear. And so, you know, Brahma, when he saw the coward boys were still there, he was filled with anxiety and fear. What's happening? So if we're feeling that, Prabhupada said, actually, if we feel morose, it means that we're under the influence of the external energy. If we're not feeling morose, then, you know, or put it this way, if we're actually under the influence of the internal energy, there's no moroseness. Krishna's always there. When Krishna's always there, there's always good fortune. Bhaktiram yogitapasam, sarvaloka maheshwaram, suridam sarvabhutanam, gatvamam shantim richtati. You know, this is a peace formula. Peace is in the heart if we remember that we're never actually separated from Krishna for a moment. It's just our misunderstanding of our identity, that's all. And then so many things are become a problem. So yeah, then we're born into duality. Icha dvesha samuttena. Duality, we have likes and dislikes. If we have likes and dislikes, we're in Maya. Is that true? Yeah, it's certainly true. He says a devotee is madhyam adhikari. How does he function? Does he have likes and dislikes? Uttama adhikari doesn't have likes and dislikes. Is that right? He sees everybody. What does a madhyam adhikari see? He sees differences. So does he have likes and dislikes? Of course, it depends on his elevation. There's different, you know, madhyam adhikari means just above Kanistha, just under Uttama adhikari. So there's a lot of, you know, differentiation. But, you know, one who's on the really seeing, he actually sees everybody as a servant of Krishna, but he treats them in different ways, that's all. So he's not separated from Krishna. He avoids the atheists even. But we may think on our platform because he doesn't like them. No, he likes the atheists, but he doesn't want to make their possibility of going back to Godhead any more difficult. So this platform of false ego is the biggest problem. So we'll come on to this particular verse now. This verse, it quotes a verse from the 12th chapter of the same canto. It says that itam satam brahma sukana bhucha dasyam gatanam paradaivatena mayashitanam naradarakena sakam vijaru krita punja punja. So it's talking about the coward boys playing with Krishna in this, like this situation, and it's saying that some people think of the absolute truth as being the impersonal Brahman effulgence. Others think this is, you know, itam satam, brahma sukhana bhucha, dasyam gatanam paradaivatena. Some people think of the Absolute Truth as being a worshipable Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, and then some people think of the Absolute Truth, maya sritanam naladarakena. They're under the influence of the illusion energy, like most people. They, when they hear about the stories of Krishna, think, it's a, you know, it's a fairy tale, it's an ordinary story. Even as devotees, we may not be so. Even Brahma was thinking, you know, how is this? So sometimes we may think Krishna's an ordinary person. He says, but they can't understand that Sakamvijaru Krida Punja Punja, that the ones who are playing with him, they perform many, many pious activities. And therefore, they've got the adhikar for playing with Krishna. Now, we usually hear that performing pious activities is not a qualification for, you know, understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's ordinary material piety or morality. Then there's, you know, devotional piety. So, how do we get devotional piety? I remember Prabhupada was once on a morning walk with, he used to go to Hyde Park, Regent's Park, and take a few devotees with him every morning. And this particular morning he was speaking about the same subject matter, you know, how we come to devotional service. And Prabhupada was making the point that we can't come to devotional service unless we performed some, you know, pious activity previously, or we've performed some devotional service in previous lives. And, you know, everybody's feeling good about that, but one devotee, what do you call him? What was his name now? What's his name? Anyway. This particular devotee said, you know, I was thinking, I can't remember performing any pious activities. So, you know, how am I performing devotional service? You know what it is. And his name just slipped my mind. I just cannot remember. And so anyway, so at one point he plucked up courage. He said, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada turned and said, yes. He says, you were saying that we come to devotional service after many pious activities. Prabhupada said, yes. He says, but Prabhupada, I don't remember performing any pious activities in this life anyway. And Prabhupada picked his cane up and said, no. And he pointed it in his face, says, I'm your pious activities. Eh? No, he went to Bhumnath, actually. But I'll remember before the end of the class, don't worry. And so he said, I'm your pious activities. He says, now what I've done for you, you have to do for others. So this is in line with our philosophy, isn't it? That, you know, Madhuri Kadambini says that it's the bhakti in a devotee's heart which impels him to preach, and therefore, you know, that's been, we're getting the mercy through the mercy of a devotee. And so Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, you know, there's one verse, Yesham Twantakatam Pama, Yesham Twantakatam Yanam Papam, Yananam Punya Karmanam, Te Danva Nichir Mukta Bhajantimam Vridavratam. And it's saying the same thing, that, you know, one who's performed pious activities in previous life, and in this life, sinful reactions have completely been eradicated, then he can engage in devotional service with determination. But in the purport, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that, actually, it's not, it says nobody's got the qualification in this world. We might look around and say, who's qualified? Hardly anybody's got that qualification, so how do they actually get devotional service? And it says that that piety can make them favourable to hearing. Not necessarily hearing, but favourable towards the process. I remember my father, he never went to church. He never, you know, took much interest in spiritual life. He was had a bob on the bookies, you know, and you know, liked to do all the things that, you know, most working men want to do. And but in one particular instance, he saw the Hare Krishnas on the television. I think it was about 1970, saw the Rath Yatra we've just had, and all the devotees were chanting and dancing. And he said to me, he says, this is real religion. I said, how do you know? He says, because everybody's happy. So, you know, there was some piety to see like that, even though he wasn't externally religious. So he says it's that favourable attitude towards the pure devotee, the pure devotee gives his mercy. If there's not a still the mercy is there, but unless there's, you know, some piety within the heart, some attraction, it's very difficult for us. We'll get some purification, obviously, but there won't be immediate results. It's like, what is it, wet grass and dry grass. There's one verse, Prabhupada was talking, there's one verse, it says, Tulyamin Labanapi Nasvaganam Punajanma Bhagavat Sangha Sangha Marchanam Kimutashisha, that, you know, a moment's association with a pure devotee cannot be compared to, you know, liberation. We're talking about liberation again, this same verse. You know, elevation to heavenly planets, or, you know, people in this material world, the, you know, the benefits that they get. These are not comparable to devotion, the association of a pure devotee. You know, sadhu sangha, sarva shasikai, sarva matra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi, a moment's association, we can give us complete perfection. So what can we get in a moment's association? You know, a moment, it's like the blinking of an eyelid. Can we get much benefit? Moment's association with a pure devotee. What can we get in a moment? Hey? Inspiration. It's a lava matter, 11th of a second. But somehow or other, this, you know, this is in the Vedas. This is in Bhagavatam. And so one devotee asked Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada. He says, what does it mean? And Prabhupada explained, it says, there's wet grass and there's dry grass. He says, you know, if you set a match to wet grass, you can do it for, you know, all week, and you'll be lucky to get it to ignite. There might be some smoke if you're lucky, and that'll be it. He says, but if you put the same light to dry grass, woof, immediately takes light. So Prabhupada's making that point. It's, you know, the attitude of the person towards the process of devotional service. And so we can understand that, you know, it's not in the beginning that, as Bhakti Rasayana Sagar was saying yesterday, that our, you know, it's all dependent on how we take devotional service, how we apply ourselves. And if we apply ourselves, you know, if we become dry by following the process nicely, he says if we follow the process of devotional service, the success is achieved without delay. There's no doubt. But, you know, the more strictly we actually apply it in our lives, then the more the result is going to come quickly. And so, you know, Prabhupada was always insistent that we try to perform pure devotional service. The story of Guru Kripa. Maybe you've heard this story before. Guru Kripa, he was a very favourite devotee of Prabhupada. He was a little bit strong in his devotional service in many ways. He used to be a commando, I think. And one day Prabhupada woke him up. He was sleeping. It was night, probably about 12 o'clock at night. And he says, what are you doing? He says, I'm sleeping, Prabhupada. He says, why? And he says, because first thing that comes to, I'm not a pure devotee, Prabhupada. He says, why aren't you a pure devotee? And he became more bewildered, and he says, and he gave some excuse. He says, why aren't you a pure devotee? And, you know, he gave another excuse, and Prabhupada just kept blasting him, and eventually he just started crying. He didn't know what to say. He said, no, you should be a pure devotee. So in other words, Prabhupada was making a point, there's no reason why we can't be, is there? There's no reason why not. It's just, you know, this mind, that's all. We think so many things. So anyway, then we can see that, you know, these boys are playing with Krishna. They've performed pious activities. We can understand that. We can actually also engage in that particular activity. It says, ordinary people can come to devotional services. One verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. I can't remember the Sanskrit now, but it's talking about how ordinary people may be favoured by devotional service. But Krishna speaking to the gopis says, but you, by your special devotional attitude, you have obtained me. He says, you know, this is a different kind of devotional service. So we have the, you know, we have the option to do that. Now, what is that option? It's also explained by Ramananda Roy to Lord Chaitanya. He said, Jnane priyasamudapashyanamanti eva jivantisam makaritam validya vartman. Stane stitasya srutikatim tanuvanmanobhya ye priyasojita jita apitrais trilokyam. That, you know, the first real step in devotional service, the first major step is to don't speculate, but just hear from authorities. Everything set up by Prabhupada for us to do that. Just hear with the proper attention, the proper attitude. He says, then Krishna is actually really impressed. He says, not only that Krishna is impressed, that he's actually, he becomes purchased by that activity. We just stay in our social position, and we hear, you know, we have to take, you know, some externally some places seem better than others. But really, if we're prepared to hear, then that's the through road to success. You know, the whole process to get to the point where we want to hear about Krishna. Just like Maharaj Pariksit, that's all he's doing. He achieved perfection by hearing. He just wants to hear about Krishna. And he's getting so much ecstatic bliss from hearing about Krishna in the proper mood that he doesn't even feel the pangs of hunger from 7 days or thirst. So this is something we should very diligently try for. The mercy of the pure devotee is going through here. Rahoganaitat tapasana yati. You know, Maharaj Rahugan was told by Jadvara that we can only get the mercy of devotional service by the mercy of the pure devotee. You know, even if we perform everything else right, it's not really going to have much effect. And you know, even if we follow Varnashram Dham, so many other things, the real thing is to get the mercy of the pure devotee, and we get that mercy by hearing. So we can stop there. Has anybody got any comments or questions?